Leave it, Daddy-O, and you know what that means. Trouble, T-R-U-B-L-E, with a capital T. Bring it up there big. Yes, sir. It's time once again for the Insensitive of the Hour. Don't you accuse me of being sensitive.
The thing is here. The barbarians are at the gates. Kill them. Give me another beer.
Oh, how sad. Well, it's tonight. Pause and bare our head for a moment on behalf of J. Mark Baird. Spent 5 years working towards a doctorate, and then he had a fantastic thing happen to him. Baird submitted his dissertation, Feasibility Study of Space-Charged Waves, Amplification in Periodically Doped Semiconductors. And I'll tell you, that's a boomer. And you know, Joe Levine has already bid on the movie rights to that one. It's going to be one hell of a sockdologer. Joe Namath is playing a semi-soaked conductor. But it was discovered that it was missing, his thesis. A lot of people's theses have been missing for years, but his was missing, man. A hurried check showed that the printed copies had been placed too close to a trash collection area at the press and was carried off by the garbage man. Baird tracked the garbage truck to the city dump in Salt Lake City, and he sifted through 14 billion pounds of old, used potato peelings and other things. He and his friends were digging in the dump for days, struggling around, fighting through garbage, and they came up with 39 crumpled copies of his thesis, and one copy with all 154 pages intact. And there's one thesis that's going to smell like what it probably is. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, no, no, just if it's not. Didn't mean that. Hello, gang. How are you? It's not been easy, has it? I know one guy that spent 7.5 hours in the traffic jam over the weekend. You know, coming back from a big fun thing at Jones Beach. You know those beer commercials they always show on TV, all those guys having that great scene on the beach, running around, going, oh, wow. You know, they're such cute guys. Have you noticed how many of them? Tall, thin guys, and they have those little elf shoes and stuff, and those little cutie poo bathing suits on. They run around and play volleyball and all that kind of stuff, and they're at this great party. How come nothing ever works out like that? Wouldn't you love to live in a commercial? I mean, everything works. I mean, I'd love to live in a commercial, just everything. Oh, yeah. What is this? What is this stain in this ink? What is this? Is this stain is in the Pierre sinky? I love that commercial there. Pierre with the stain in the sink. That's one of my favorite ones. Oh, Pierre's an old friend of mine, by the way. Yeah, that actor, he's an old buddy of mine. And he often talks like that. What is this stain in the sink? Often says that. I noticed that my name was used in an ad over the weekend. Last couple of weeks, you might have seen it. Yeah, I'm lumped with Cambodia withdrawal, Woodstock, the new abortion laws, the Beatles, Judy Collins, Martin Luther King, ecology, opposition to the Vietnam War, air pollution, Vivaldi, voting at 18, Bob Dylan, Channel 13, Gene Shepherd, sex education and public schools, Ray Charles, legalizing pot, Joe Cocker, war on poverty, the Peace Corps, the Doors, and Earth Day. That whole crowd in one big lump, and then underneath it says, this is your bag, you're our kind of people. I can't tell you what it's for. It's for a computer dating service. Nothing Joe Cocker likes better than a computer date, I'm sure. Along with Earth Day and Ray Charles and me. And we're all sit around, you know, we often do, me and Bob Dylan, Ray Charles, and Joe Cocker, and the War on Poverty. We often sit around, all of us, you know. The War on Poverty, incidentally, is a rock group, making plenty of dough. And we often sit around and, you know, discuss legalizing pot. And the abortion laws, in capital letters. I love to see David Susskind. Have you ever noticed how David Susskind, his eyes wrinkled so... And tears well up before his, you know, you can use the tears come up in his eyes when somebody has said something illiberal on his show, you know, and like saying, you know, something about abortion or something. And he says, you don't mean to tell me that in this day and age of enlightened education and viewpoints. I love that. Those are some great moments. At that time, I always I have a harpsichord record that I put on my record player at home when I'm watching do that. And it's kind of nice. It's there. It's fugue number 23 in D. It goes well. He's in the key of D. Are you aware that if you're trying to accompany any of Mr. Susskind's sermons, he is in the key of D. Isn't it great? Being one of the seven wonders of the world, you damn betcha it is. I'll tell you. Just think of it. Out of 200 billion people, I'm one of the seven wonders of the world, and there's a lot of guys that didn't make it. You know, speaking of not making it, don't get alarmed out there. I'm in charge, friends. Totally. And while we're still in charge, I would like to suggest that Marty there, before we get deep into the mire and the muck of this 45 minutes on this quiet Monday night, I'd like Marty, please, if you will, with great dispatch, hit the money button.
She was a woman of the world, sophisticated and secure. He was a man of the mountains, primitive and... Both of them married to someone else. Both of them beyond the recklessness of youth. And yet,
primitive.
Together, they did the most reckless thing two people can do. They fell in love. Columbia Pictures proudly presents Anthony Quinn and Ingrid Bergman in A Walk in the Spring Rain.
Yes, happiness shall be mine, I say mine.
Every man thinks his wife is happily married, and every woman wants to be faithful.
A great commercial.
But after a long winter of marriage, there's a certain longing to come alive again, to feel desired again, to experience one more wild and wonderful moment. It will be warm for the rest of your life.
And I say...
A Walk in the Spring Rain. In color. Rated GP. All ages parental guidance.
Gee, that's an exciting sounding movie. Starts tomorrow at Columbia Showcase Presentation Theaters. Anthony Quinn has been playing lovable primitives for so long that Well, you know what he reminds me of? An unstuffed bear rug. Yeah, you know? And he's always...
Me, Giuseppe Peasant, I love much. Me full lust and much joy of life, I say. Ho, ho, ho.
That's a good role. La ta, the star is in... Oh, it's just a terrible thing is happening in London. Everything's, you know, they have problems in London. They often say that when a society is falling on its you-know-what, that real, you know, wild things happen. And maybe you can, you can draw. I don't want to say anything bad about England, but, well, let's face it, they've been saying bad stuff about us for a long time, so I figure why not, you know. But here in London, this is a sad little thing to think about. Ducks and geese in London parks are, quote, mixing their marriages and creating one dinger of a problem. A park keeper said Thursday, Arthur May, keeper at St. James Park near Buckingham Palace. That's right, that's the big time, man. You bet. Said that the fowl are neglecting their own kind and are swinging like crazy with other breeds. You know what that's going to produce? You just wait, boy. When the first fire plug shows up with webbed feet, then you're going to have problems. Well, I say this as always. This is what Gibbons said in The Rise and Fall of... What was that place? Oh, The Rise and Fall of... It couldn't have been. The Rise and Fall of Denmark? No, he didn't write that. No, it was The Rise and Fall of Indianapolis. No, that's silly. It's right on the tip of my tongue. The Rise and Fall of something, Edward Gibbon. No, it wasn't The Rise and Fall. It was the Decline and Fall, wasn't it? I believe it was, yes. You notice I've got a mind that's as quick as a whip. Just snap hard like that. And that's how come I'm lumped here with Bob Dylan, Joe Cocker, Channel 13, and sex education in the public schools. In an ad. See, that's why you're not listed there. Oh, by the way, friends, the most surprising things are happening at Schraff's. Oh, you bet your bippy. I was in a Schraff's the other day when they made a grab. It's fantastic. But that was something else. I don't want to bring it. That was a sickening scene. Right now, Schraff's is surprising visitors with little white envelopes that could get you anything from dinner on the house to an RCA color TV, box seats at Yankee Stadium, a Schraff's bartender for your next party, even Chevy Nova. Who's Chevy Nova? Isn't that gal who used to do those musicals? She was in West Side Story, wasn't it? Played a Puerto Rican girl. Chevy Nova, yeah. How do you... You mean she comes in the white envelope? How do you get one of these surprising white envelopes? Easy. There's no purchase required. Tear out the Schraff's ad any day this week in the Times or the Post. Then head for one of the 10 Schraff's restaurants listed in the ad. The most surprising things are happening at Schraff's. And they could be happening to you. You could, how are you going to explain Chevy Nova to your wife when you come home, with bananas on top of your head and yellow and all? She is something else, man. Well, that's the way Schraff's are going. It's really popping down there. Yes, sir. A lot of things are happening here at WOR. Like I just got fired. They just said, that's another story. Everybody looking. Oh, everybody jumped in there. Boy, you mentioned the word fired up here on the 24th floor. You ought to see guys. Fantastic. I didn't even know half of these guys. One guy the other day when I mentioned the word, I just do that sometimes. I just run to how you're fired! And four guys got up and walked out. Because, with the shoe fits. That's what I say. Hey, listen, speaking of that, somebody sent me a paper from about 1935. I wish I had it here. And it had a whole lot of stuff in it about Wrong Way Corrigan. You remember Wrong Way Corrigan? And there was a whole lot of stuff about Wrong Way Corrigan. He was having a ticker tape parade on that day. Now, it might have been 1939 or 1938 or something, but it was an old paper anyways, kind of a yellow paper. And I like to read, all the little stuff around the big items. And there was a story, a fantastic story in that paper. I would like to know if that guy is still around. It was about a city employee. And the city was really bugged. Because it was a big paper about it, big story. It says that they finally had to do something about it. You see, they finally arrested him. Because 3 years before this, he was fired. But he refused to stop work. He came in every day and did his work. And for 3 solid years, he worked at this place, and they didn't know what to do about him. And so finally, they charged him with a misdemeanor. Because they didn't give any pay or anything for 3 years. He just came in for 3 years. Came in every morning at 9 and left every day at 5. Boy, haven't city employees changed? But nevertheless, it was like the flywheel effect, And he just never would quit. So he didn't quit. And I would like to know if that guy's out there yet. How he explained it to his wife, every day. He says, I'm coming home from work again. I'll be home at 5. She says, when are you going to get paid? It's been over 2 years now. And he says, well, you know how that place is. I mean, they're going through some bad times down there at the city. Did you read about Mayor Lindsay in Fun City? Did you hear about that? He goes out to get in the airplane. Did you hear about that? Well, he goes out to get in the airplane. This is Big Mayor Lindsay. He goes out there, in the big car with the lights flashing and everybody running out ahead of him. Well, those little things with the wheels, the guys with the white helmets and all that jazz. He arrives at the airlines. And he's going to take a plane to go out to the mayor's conference, whatever they're having out there. It's a little convention, like the Moose or the Elks. The mayors of America get together and they drop bottles of water out of windows on ladies, shock sticks and all that stuff. They do. They just raise hell out there. But nevertheless, when these mayors are, they're all getting together. They always get together in some great place like Miami Beach. You notice they never have a meeting in Griffith, Indiana, or a place like Horse Collar, Iowa, nothing like that. They go to some great place where, you know, there's plenty of bars around, all that. So, you know, big expense account. So he gets out to the airport. Didn't you hear about it? And it turns out they canceled him on the airlines. And you know why they canceled him? Because he never paid for his tickets before. He, you know, all the tickets that they bought that the city buys. And they had run up a bill like something like 15 grand. And finally somebody, yeah, it was 15 grand, wasn't it? Something like that. So finally the guy at the ticket office says, forget it, Mayor. I'm sorry you've been bumped. There's this lady with a shopping bag. She paid for her ticket, but I'm sorry you're not going. Shee. Well, you know, the mayor, he grumbled around a little bit, saying, I mean, after all, Mayor Lindsay, if you are telling us, I mean, you are telling all us little people to pick up, you know, tote that bale, lift that barge, get a little drunk, and you land in jail, and then you get busted for non-payment of stuff. I mean, airline tickets, I mean, you know, come on. Embarrassing moment. Can you see all the flash bulbs going off and Gabe Pressman's got 9 microphones? Mr. Mayor, when you get out, you know, all that business. And all of a sudden, the mayor, he's getting ready to go on the plane. And, you know, when you're getting on the plane and you're the mayor, everybody gets all excited and you walk up the gangplank and they take pictures and all that. It's terrible, you know, to be in there arguing. But look, we paid last month. And he says, nah, sorry, Mayor, you guys owe 15 G's. I'm sorry, you ain't no better than nobody else. Listen, we got this guy named Hawkfleisch the other day. He bought 2 tickets, we nabbed him. You know, you're lucky, we can get you in the can for that one. And the mayor, well, I'll tell you, you know, it's a fun city in a lot of ways. And it really is. We've probably got the only freeloader city in the world. Incidentally, did you notice the mayor's constantly railing at Albany to have greater fiscal responsibility? I don't suppose that means pay your debts, though, does it, huh? Oh, no, not fiscal responsibility. Fiscal responsibility means other guys pay you. That's what's called fiscal responsibility. It's groovy, I'll tell you. I enjoyed that. Listen, speaking of enjoying it, I'm sitting in the barber chair. I don't actually go to get a haircut anymore. They got this very elegant barber down this barber shoppery where I go to. It's actually called the Men's Hair Styling Salon, and it's not easy to get used to. I used to go in there, and you know, you'd see guys sitting around drinking Lucky Tiger out of bottles with straws, and I knew a guy who used to get such fantastic Lucky Tiger buns on. Oh, that stuff will knock your, you know. And used to go to the old barbershop and guys sitting around telling dirty jokes, you know, and drinking Lucky Tiger and hollering and the ball scores and the baseball game going on all the time, you know. But now you go to Tony's Hair Salon Men's Stylist Center with an R-E. It's not spelled center, it's spelled centra, a little umlaut over the ding-dong. So I go into this place. Oh, yes, they've got tassels on the chairs now. It's kind of nice. You go, yeah, well, they have a kind of lounge chairs that you sit in now, see, and they're very relaxing and comforting, and it's nice. And they squirt sort of the aroma of gentian into the air. And there's a lot of nice men. You'd be surprised at what's happened to barbers. If you used to go to a guy with a guy, you know, raid a barber, he's gone forever. Now it's Mr. Philippe will take care of you at 3:30. And you arrive, and Mr. Philippe, I just can't get used to, though, really, the barber biting my ear all the time. I don't like him nibbling on the lobes of my ear. And, you know, breathing heavy and all that stuff. And it just gets a little, you know, what's the matter? You're looking worried. Oh, no, it's not going to affect you. It's what's happening to men. That's it's your problem, not mine, you know, actually. Would you mind if I do a newscast now? Oh, no, wait, you get ready, Marty. I'll give you the cue. It's a kind of a strange show, isn't it, tonight? Have we done the year one spot yet? Well, listen, you get on the stick, friend. I want to tell you this. You know, I can always tell that when something is good on the air, you get angry letters about it. You get either angry or positive, wild, adulatory letters. One or the other. There's never any in between. Anything that makes it is never in between. You get violent hate or violent love for anything that really does it. And for those of you who haven't seen this year one poster. Incidentally, some guy wrote and says, that's so good, how come you don't tell us who wrote it, who painted the painting? Well, that's part of the mystique of it. The idea. In fact, the name of the artist is written on this thing, and it's a symbolic anagram. Very symbolic. And if you are able to, you know, finally solve the symbolism of this and bust down the anagram, you'll find out that it says, "Hooray for Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline." It's very exciting. But nevertheless, if you would like to order one of these great posters, and they're wild, and they're in magnificent, about 4,000 colored lithography, you send $2 in check or money order. For crying out loud, don't send it to me. Oh, you know, I'm not going to mind if you send a lot of money to me. That's all right. But $2 stuff is chicken feed, where I come from, friends. But if you'd like to send a check and, or a money order to Year 1, 460 West 34th Street, New York, New York, within a couple of days, you're going to get this wild poster. It's the Year 1 poster. The Year 1 poster. And by that time, you can hear it. In fact, every afternoon, we open the window up here on the 20th floor where our office is. See? And that's about the time they're delivering the mail out in places like Staten Island and Peapack, New Jersey, and, you know, exciting places like that. And you can hear these shrieks come floating. Whoa! They come floating in. See, somebody just opened his Year 1 poster. And, you know, one guy got his Year 1 poster, and he says, when this thing jumped out of the package, he said it was so frightening and so wild, he said that I immediately sprayed it with DDT. He said, but it didn't kill it. That's true. It is immune to your bows and sharps and arrows. Oh, by the way, sticks and stones, friends. What's the rest of that? Sticks and stones will... It's right on the tip of my noggin here. Sticks and stones will... Does anybody remember the rest of that? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Sticks and stones will something, 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 but something will not something, something, something. It goes. How's it go? Let's see. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. No, that's not it. It's, it goes, let's see. Humphrey Dumpty sat on the wall. Humphrey Dumpty took a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humphrey together again. That is correct, but that isn't the one I was looking for. The one I was looking for was, it's on the tip of my tongue. Sticks and stones will... Oh, well, you know, what are you going to do? Have you ever had the feeling that your brain is rotting? Yeah, I'm serious. Have you ever had the feeling that, you know, like a cantaloupe, that there's parts of your head that are getting soft? Yeah, and yeah, that's right. In fact, of course, I had an argument with my barber. Actually, my barber's name, he's not really a barber any longer. He's kind of a helpmeet and companion down there at the hair salon, stylist Antoine. Yeah. And so I said to Antoine, and he's got a help, caught him over my head, saying he's feeling it, and he's rubbing it all over the top, and he keeps going, oh. And I remember one of the exciting moments. He says, "August, please come over. Hasn't he got the loveliest occipital point?" And I said, "For crying out loud, will you trim it in the back a little bit this time instead of putting braids in it? You know, I'm getting so tired of them ribbons, and you know, it's getting the. It's a bad show. I'm just bad. It's on the tip of my tongue. I'm bothered now. It's just like a song." That keeps coming back, and you can't quite pinpoint it. Let's see, there, I'll get it. I won't bother you, though, about it. But nevertheless, I'm sitting in the barber chair, and they're spraying the attar of gentian on me, which is all very nice. It's very nice. It kind of makes your eyes cloud up a little bit, but outside of that, it's kind of good. They say that it'll grow hair on your teeth if you sit too close to that squirter, though, but I'm sitting there, and the attar of gentian is spraying in, and I've got the New York Times, and all of a sudden I noticed at the top of the Times it says all the news that's fit to print, and it hit me again anew at what a magnificently an aggressive statement that is. I have to salute the Times for that. Oh yes, of course, whiz bang. Yeah, you sit around Captain Billy's whiz bang. Oh yeah, smoking cigar short. You know, I don't know what would happen if I went to Antoine's hairstylist men's couture salon and smoked a cigar. You know, real stinky cigar. You know, the kind that's all chewed up on the end, you know, and you keep spitting on the floor. Patowie. Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue. I'll get it yet. Yeah, that's a pretty good cartoon. Yeah, that's right. I had a barber that did drink Lucky Tiger. I'm telling you, he just rotted him out. You know, speaking of that, don't go away. Listen, I'm going to tell you about that. You know, everybody laughs about the idea of drinking Lucky Tiger. But do you know that I had an uncle? And everybody has an uncle, you know, that's experimenting. He's, you know how today they talk about mind-blowing techniques? Well, everybody's trying mind-blowing techniques, one kind or another. But I had this uncle who very early in the psychedelic revolution, my uncle was a pioneer, an avant-garde pioneer. Bay rum, very good, very good. Olive in it, yes. A little on the rocks, it's kind of good, yeah. That's right. I'll tell you what you got to do, though, if you're going to take the drinking bay rum. You got to hold your breath, because I'll tell you. But nevertheless, I want to tell you about my uncle, though. He was a good man, an old Uncle Carl. Everybody has a family, and when you have a family of comparative size, you know, like I had about, 200, 300, 400 uncles. And if you have a family of, you know, good solid size, I doubt whether there's a family that doesn't have one experimental drunk. Now, a lot of families won't admit they've got a drunk in their family. What they often say is that, well, of course, you know, that Clarence does have a problem. Now, they don't say what his problem is, like he falls down the stairs every 5 minutes and he keeps hitting his head against the radiators, and he beats Aunt Emily with a clothes pole once in a while when he gets a snootful. But nevertheless, my Uncle Carl, I'll never forget this day when my father had to go over to my Uncle Carl's house because we got a call from Uncle Charles, see? And they used to go and bail Uncle Carl out periodically when his experiments went awry. And that's right. Well, this one, they went over there this particular day, and I remember my old man on the phone. He's talking to Uncle Charles, and he says, "What? You're kidding." That's typical of my old man's talk. He says, "What? You're kidding." And Uncle Charles is saying something else. He says, "No kidding, really? How many bottles? Aquavelva." He said, "Yeah, you're not kidding. Aquavelva?" He says, "That's the stuff that wows the ladies, ain't it?" Another pregnant pause. And the old man jumped into the Oldsmobile and he took off hell-bent for election, see? And apparently they were going to try to get a stomach pump to squeeze it out of Uncle Carl. Uncle Carl, who had decided that maybe Aquavelva on the rocks wouldn't be so bad. And did you ever try it? Well, he had read somewhere that if you take Aquavelva, that's the shaving lotion, that if you got this stuff and you ran it through a loaf of bread somehow. Now, this is one of the folk tales, that if you run anything through a loaf of bread, it will purify it. And it's okay to drink it after that. I suppose if you're on strychnine through a loaf of bread, it's okay, you know. But anyway, what happened with Uncle Carl, he was absolutely blotto for about 3 days on Aquavelva. And incidentally, he did wow the ladies when for years afterwards. You'd get around Uncle Carl, and I'll tell you, he smelled like a Lillian spring. It was fantastic. But nevertheless, you tell him it's okay. It is on the tip of my tongue. I'll get it. Look, I don't want anybody to help me with that now. If there's anything I hate, it's people who look over your shoulder and work the crossword puzzle. You know, and say, "Hey, look, that's a four-letter word. Come on, don't cheat." You know, of course, there's a lot of irritating things, so don't try to help me with this. On the tip of my tongue. Let's see, I'll try it again. Now, see, if you approach it real head-on, real fast, sometimes it'll come out just right. Okay, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but... I could almost feel it coming out.
Me primitive.
That's good. A sense of power there. Do you mind if I do a little newscast here? I'm sitting in the chair there, and I read. It says all the news that's fit to print. You know what I did? I think you'll like this. At least I do. I cut out all the stuff that the New York Times buries in the back of its trust, you know, back where it's, ads, where the trust pages are, you know, things like Lonely Hearts Clubs and used P-51 planes and stuff. You know, back in the funny section of the Times, they have all these great little articles, the real stuff. And so I took it out, and this guy made me up a headline, you know, a regular front page of a Times, see, and put all the little articles in the front, and put all the trivial articles in the back. And it comes out, wouldn't it be great if newscasts were like this and had the real news stuff? Bring it on there, please, Marty, please.
The news of the world is on the air. Here, there, and everywhere, the New York Times searches out the news for you and brings it to you red hot. The eyes and the ears of the world. From globe to globe and from nation to nation, the continental, the world, the United News is here tonight. Here is H.G. Grubbage and the news. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Americans everywhere. And now, here is the news. Seattle. A 21-year-old Seattle man who said he wanted to turn himself in and get it over with found out that the Seattle police were unaware of the robbery he had committed. The man told officers he wanted to confess to robbing a grocery store with a rifle sometime before. Unable to find a report of the robbery, the police drove the suspect to the area of the crime and said there was no such robbery committed here. The young man said, "But I did commit a robbery." The police said, "You did not." He was freed immediately.
Excuse me. Hello, test. I wonder how many of us just hit me. I wonder how many of us have on our conscience something that nobody else even noticed. I never gave a damn about anyway in the first place. Do you want to hear other New York Times news?
Twyford, England. Leslie D., a 40-year-old magician, put out a call for a new rabbit for his stage act. The animal would replace one that has been producing every night from his top hat. However, it has an aggravated habit of eating the hat. "He is permanently nibbling my props," said Mr. D. "He comes out the wrong way in the middle of my tricks. He has eaten the last three top hats which I have procured for the act."
Wait, let's see. No, that's not it. This Sticks and Stones. No, that's not right. Sticks and Stones. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Sticks and stones may break. Break. Oh, yeah, I know. Sticks and stones may break my mother's back if you step on a crack on a sidewalk. No, that's not right. I'm sorry, you know. I hate to fail so publicly in front of everybody like this. But, That's what that lucky tiger will do. Yeah. Would you bring that on again, please, if you will, Marty, please?
I'm sorry, I like this. The eyes and the ears of the world. Pathé News takes you everywhere, all the time, every moment of the day.
Yesterday in beautiful... No, don't take it down. In beautiful Miami Beach, the first preliminary running of the Miss America contest was held. And there go those little cuties now. Oh, Marty, please.
Raging floodwaters roared through the tiny community of Jepip, Tennessee. 4,000 people were left homeless. Red Cross arrived late in the day. And as we see these films, we see rescues being carried out under terribly, terribly trying conditions. But the Red Cross is on the job, and man will rise again.
well, monkeys are the craziest peoples. As we see by this news shot that was made in Miami Beach, with the bathing beauties marching up and down, bouncing the blue balloons as they go. Oh, look at that little cute one down there on the end. Yes, monkeys is the craziest peoples. Oh, there goes one backwards now off the big diving board now. But which one shall be called Miss America when the big contest is over? Well, who knows? All we know is they are some peaches. Oh, say you kid. Monkeys is the craziest peoples.
Yes, this little town.
And it's time once again for the 375th running in the great battle for the roses. And they were off. That majestic, historic Churchill Downs. Stymie led into the first quarter. Cold Town coming up on the rear. 20 grand is now making his bribe as they go into the backstretch. Hoop-dee-doo is moving up to the field. Eddie Arcaro is ahead by a nose. And that was the eyes and the news of the world. At the news. On time, all the time.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Gee, that was cute, wasn't it? You know, movie music. Hey, wait, before you put it away, Marty, movie music is so totally, so totally, it's almost a classical language in its own right now. Has its own traditions. And when you hear, well, it is, it really is, it's traditional now. When you hear certain kinds of music in a scene, even if the scene doesn't have anything to do with the music, it's just a scene. You could have a scene of flowers and birds. You know what the scene is about by the music. Marty, if you will give me cut three on that side. Now, that's a classical example of the language of movie music. Listen to this thing now. As soon as you get that thing cued. It's still on the tip of my tongue. It's really bothering me. Sticks and stones. Come on, you can help me. Does anybody out there know what it is? Sticks and stones may break my bone. Hey, let's go. Yeah, here we go. Now, absolutely, without any question, as soon as this comes on, you can see it in your mind. You don't even have to see the scene. You can create the whole comedy yourself. It's comedy music. You can see Laurel and Hardy. You know, they're walking along the street, see? You know, and Hardy's flicking his tie up once in a while, see? And they're dressed, for some strange reason, they're dressed as street cleaners. You don't know why, they never mention. They're just walking down the street, see? And as they walk, a giant safe falls out of the 23rd story window just above their head, and they just walk right on, zap, it hits right behind them. They never see it, see? All right, now set up number. You want to hear classic? Flip it over on the other side. I'll give you a test. Can you tell me what this cut is from? Give me cut two, on the other side. What is this from? Just bring it up, Marty. You don't have to cue it up. Just let it go. Yeah, what's that from? What movie is this from? That's from a classic movie. All right, now reset it. Now reset it. Give me cut one on the second side, Marty. Cut one on the second side. Listen to this. What's what? Bring it up. What movie is this from? This is classic. This is a classic movie score. Actually, it was probably better than the movie, which is a classic, too. Now here's the scene. There's a great, heavy man sitting on a chair. He is being interrogated. Guilt is showing in his eyes, and there's great streams of sweat coming down. The classic movie. Okay, now, give me cut four on that side, if you want to hear some wild movie music. These are from classical movies. Oh, here's a great one. Bring it up big, Marty. On comes the big glimmering, the title comes floating out of the purple haze. The Lone Rider up Tarnation Gulch. We see a lone figure coming out of the purple hills, riding slow and easy in the saddle, dust covered, coming down into that homely little street of that tiny village on the far western fringes of America's frontier. His stomach is hard, his jaw is square, his eyes are mere slits of rectitude. He carries those two big 44s low on his hip. As he comes loping into town, the lawman has arrived. Yeah, he's going to clean up that crummy bunch down near the river that took over the old Widow Clevenson's ranch when her old man died mysteriously stuffed down into the sheep dip head first. The Claggett brothers, headed by Jack Palance, presided over by the old man, Boss Claggett. Old Toad Claggett, played by Chuck Connors, is hiding under the wagon. And then the first shot rings out. But it's too late. It's too late. It's too late for all of us. Over and... Yes. Now it's on the tip of my tongue. Sticks and stones. Now it's coming. Yeah, sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Oh, shucks. Oh, well. It's not that important, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter if your head is turning into a cantaloupe. It doesn't matter, really. After all, cantaloupes are kind of nice.